utilize retirees here. So you're
being called into full-time service at Sandy Point. We appreciate you've been working here for many years, but congratulations on your retirement. Had it not been for the old rugged cross, well, we wouldn't be here, would we? We wouldn't be here. We would still yet be in our sins. The Bible says that old rugged cross was a stumbling block unto the Jews. They didn't want nothing to do with it. And to the Greeks, it was foolishness. It made no sense to the Greek philosophers and the Greek thinking people. Worldly people, the cross of Jesus makes no sense. It doesn't. But to us who are saved, it is what? The power of God unto salvation. Amen? Hope you know about the cross today. If you don't, it's my job to tell you about it. So we'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke chapter 21, 21st chapter of Luke, verses 5 through 19. A little bit of reading today. And today's sermon is about the fact that God's people shall not perish. That is a promise. That's a promise from Jesus. God's people shall not perish. Remember that. Luke 21, verse 5. And this scene happens on the last week here. Jesus has been teaching in the temple daily, and the disciples make a comment to him about how magnificent the temple is adorned. We are told that Herod the Great spent a 46-year project refurbishing the temple that had been rebuilt from the Babylonian captivity. They rebuilt it, and Herod made a major investment to appease the Jews, and it was quite remarkable. Not to get off the subject, though, but remember, it was never the same as Solomon's temple. Who knows why? Somebody knows why. Jim, you know why, don't you? It was never the same as Solomon's temple. The rebuilt temple. What lacked it? The Ark of the Covenant. Right. Absolutely. But it was a quite impressive building. And Herod's project really enlarged the courtyards, because the people worshiped outside. We got a dose of that during COVID. And we didn't like it too good, did we? Well, they worshiped outside. They didn't go inside the temple. That was for the priests doing the business of God in there. But anyhow, they make a comment about what a wonderful building and these complexes. Verse number 5, and some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. Master, what a remarkable place this is. As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what shall be there when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when you shall hear wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, and deliver you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. It's what you got to look forward to. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. Don't worry about it. This is part of it. For I will give you a mouth with and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. Think about Stephen as the Sanhedrin court put him before them, and they saw his face as what? The face of an angel, and they couldn't do nothing with him. Wow. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Remember that. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake. Wow, what about the gospel of prosperity? How do they deal with that? But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Verse 17 and 18, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. God's people shall not perish. Let's pray, Lord, thank you for this promise today. And I pray that we all can lay hold and claims to the promises of God through the old rugged cross, through your blood that you shed for us. I pray if there be anybody here today or listening or watching who has not made their calling and election sure, who have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that today they will claim the old rugged cross and the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your promises, and those promises are good in trying times. And Lord, we rejoice in the promises of your word. I pray for those who are sick today and those who are struggling. Pray that you'd move among us, dear Lord. I pray that the Spirit of God would be actively walking and searching each heart today, and that we would be obedient unto the leading of the Spirit in Jesus' name, amen. Not a hair of your head shall perish. And just before that, he said, and some of you shall be caused to be put to death. A quick reading of that, we might think that Jesus is promising nothing's ever going to happen to us. Well, that's not the context for what he said there, because he had just said, you're going to go through some rough times, and some of you, there will be caused to put to death. And a matter of fact, we're told, according to historians and church history, and some Bible, that the apostles all perished, maybe with the exception of John the Beloved, who was persecuted, who they tried to keep, and they say he finally lived out to be an old man, but he suffered a great deal. So all these men pretty much basically suffered martyrdom. Some of them. Matthew was killed by a sword in Ethiopia. You learn by this that in later time the disciples got the vision of the church universal. For most of them, or a great deal of them, died in foreign lands. Matthew died in Ethiopia. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, dragged by horses in the street. Luke was hanged in Greece. John died an old man. Peter was crucified upside down. James, the brother of our Lord, was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple. That's not James the disciple. That's James, the brother of our Lord, who was the head of the Jerusalem church. James the disciple was beheaded. He became the first of the disciples to be beheaded. Bartholomew was martyred in Armenia. Andrew was crucified. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India. You see how they went to the worldwide missions? While Jude was killed by arrows, Matthew was stoned, and it goes on and on and on. So Jesus was not saying, when he said, not one hair of your head shall perish. Well, what is he saying there? He's saying that your work, the things you do for the Lord and the kingdom of God, and you have eternal life. They can't destroy you. Perish means to suffer complete ruin or destruction. To be destroyed or turned to total ruin. The things that you will do for the kingdom will not go void, will not go to nothing. You're doing eternal things, and you are what? Eternal. God's people shall not perish. That is a promise that Jesus made to us. We may suffer loss here. There's very little people who are preaching today to be a Christian means to suffer. Come and line up and be willing to suffer. But you know what attracts crowds and people is good times, good events, feel good things. But the calling to follow Christ is take up your cross and follow me. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to pay the price. Many before us have paid the price. The ultimate price. And certainly if we follow Christ, we are going to suffer in this life. But you have the promise of God that you shall not perish. The things that you invested your life in will not come to ruin. What an awful thing it would be for a person to spend their life and to look back and say it was all a waste. It was all a total way. It is all being brought to ruin. And Jesus said, that will not be the case for God's people. And we should rejoice in that. This is the promise of eternal life. Not one hair of your head will perish. This is eternal life. We'll suffer loss here, but we have the promise of eternal life. We have eternal life abiding in us. How do we get that? What is the cost? You know, it was that old rugged cross that was sung about today. Let's turn to Luke chapter 13. Jesus tells us that to get this eternal life and to get this promise that we will not perish, the first thing we have to do is to repent. For he says here in these scriptures that we must repent or face perishing. Repent or perish. Repent or face total destruction and ruin of your life and all that you've done and all of it a total waste and then no promise in the year after. It's all been a total waste. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and 1 through 5, and there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood that Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answered and said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Ye, that gets very personal. That we all must repent or face perishing. Total destruction, you know. There is no promise of eternal life without we repent. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelled in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. How do I get this promise from God that I will not perish? This promise of eternal life. First thing we must do is to repent. What's it mean to repent? Genuine repentance. A lot of people say they repent when they get caught. You know what I mean? When trouble comes. And we think it might be get out of jail free. Everybody's sorry when they get caught, right? But we're talking about genuine sorrow and to turn from God. Sorrow of the heart because we have offended a just and a righteous God. When it comes to us that, hey, Jesus, that old rugged cross, that suffering that Jesus endured, I had a part in that. And I am to blame. I am guilty for that. And I repent of it. I have tried my way, and my way does not lead to the promise of a life that shall not perish. Genuine being sorry and to turn to God. Repent or perish. Jesus said to His followers, not one hair of your head shall perish. That means you are not going to perish. God is detailed. He says, not one hair of your head shall perish. He's not talking about we won't suffer loss here. But we're talking about eternal life. So we must repent or face this perishing, being destroyed. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, this is a chapter that we talk about faith, the chapter of faith. And the writer of Hebrews, writing primarily to a Jewish audience, probably second century Jewish converts who are well acquainted with the keeping of the law. In fact, a lot of these people are contemplating, and there are strict warnings about going back to the law and abandoning their faith. They're being wooed back by relatives and friends. They are considering going back to what they have come out of, and the writer over and over says, you don't want to do that, because the covenant of grace in Christ is what? Far superior. Why would you want to abandon something that is better and go back to something that's not as good? And so over and over he makes the argument, you know. And this 11th chapter is about faith. You know, it's our faith in Christ and His work. It is our faith. And he lists the heroes of the faith down through the ages. These people, even under Old Testament times, were people of faith, he's saying. And he mentions one here that's connected, that kept her from perishing, and that would be Rahab the harlot. Of all people, Rahab the harlot. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31 says, it was by faith. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not. The whole city was destroyed because she responded by faith and saved the spies of God's people, and they promised her life and that of her family, and she was to tie scarlet thread on her door. And the Bible says it was her faith in doing this kept her from perishing. The rest of the people were destroyed. It was faith that kept the harlot Rahab, that she perished not with them that believe not. It is our faith that will save us, and we will perish not as them that believe not when she received the spies with peace. It was her act of faith. So we must repent or perish. We must respond with faith after we repent of our sins and say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. And I'm condemned of that. And I trust Jesus to take away my sins. And by faith, I claim His righteousness. Repent or perish. faith or perish, be destroyed. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith and believing in Jesus and His work, that's the way to this promise that we will not perish. God's people will not perish. He said that they should not perish. You see, God doesn't want people to perish. That's why He gave His Son. He done that so people would be saved, so people could claim this promise and not perish. People could have eternal life, and it's people's constantly rejection of that. You know, why do people reject something good that God has initiated? And Paul says, while we were yet sinners, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Why is that not simply good enough for people today? Well, as I started out and tell you, to the Jews, it was a stumbling block. They couldn't get over it. And to the Greeks, it was foolishness. It made no sense to them when you put two words together like Christ crucified. That's an oxymoron. What does it mean? Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King. It makes no sense for the Son of God to come and to die, to be crucified. To be crucified was a terrible way to die. You know, it was a shameful that the Romans didn't even want to speak of it. And so people, they just couldn't contemplate. Okay, you're saying Jesus is God, and then you're saying He's crucified. What did the Jews say when He was on the cross? Come down from there, and we will believe you. The chief priest mocked and said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Come down from that cross, and we will believe you. You see, they couldn't figure out, how are you accomplishing being the Messiah, and yet here you are dying an awful, painful, terrible death on the cross. But it was God's plan to save a fallen creation through the death of Jesus. And 3 days later, He would rise from the dead, alive forevermore. And we'll celebrate that the end of this month on Easter Sunday. Big day for the church, for Christians all over the world. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that people would come to Jesus and to be saved. The Bible says, God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It does God no good to see the death of the wicked. God doesn't want people to die, lost. He's gone to an awful lot of trouble to see that man's soul could live forever. You were created in the image of God. We're created to bring Him glory. God sought fellowship with mankind, and that was severed in the fall. Sin, you know, separated that fellowship. And now we only can have fellowship through Jesus Christ, the communion of the Holy Spirit. But to those who believe, would not or shall not perish, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, should not be destroyed. That not one hair of your head would perish. Your soul, we're talking about eternal life here. And then this promise becomes so clear in John chapter 10. We need to hold dearly to these promises, for they are still valid today in God's Word. John chapter 10, verses 27, 28, and 29. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. How do you know you're saved? One of the ways is, well, we're following Jesus. Amen? We better be. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Don't take that promise lightly. We are Arminian in our doctrine, and that's caused a lot of our people to be very unsettled in their faith, and some people unstable. You know, if we're saved, we're saved. You know, we need to have some assurance. God's Word gives you some assurance. This is the Word of Jesus. Listen, this is not the preacher telling you. This is the Word of God. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, not be destroyed. That is a promise that not one hair of your head will perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We have some assurance. We believe that we must have faith and endure. We believe in endurance, but I believe we also have some assurance. And this is a promise from God in His Word by none other than Jesus Himself, that you will never perish. We follow Him. Amen? He said, I know them, and they follow me. This is a promise. A promise. Jesus told the disciples, not one hair of your head shall perish. He had just told them. He's not talking about suffering loss in this life, in this world. He just told some of them, some of you are going to be killed. He told James and John, are you able to drink the cup that I'm able to drink? Are you? There's going to be some suffering, but not one hair of your head will perish. What's that mean? That means eternal life. That means that you will not perish. That the works and the things that you've done for Jesus will not be brought to naught. It means if you serve the Lord, when you face your end in this life, you will not look back on it and say, I regret what I invested in the Lord. Do you know of anyone who's lived for the Lord, who served Jesus? Do you know anyone who served the Lord and at life's end looked back and said, you know, I regret that? Occasionally you do hear of a heretic doing it. There was a few years ago, some big preacher somewhere, and he looked back and he said, you know, he decided that he had it wrong or something or other. But the true and the faithful servant of the Lord, you don't hear people saying, I regret investing what I did in the Lord's work and following Him. No, the things that you do will not perish. Your life will not perish. We will endure. We have eternal life abiding in us. That is the Word of God by Jesus. Not one hair of your head will perish. Abraham Lincoln, in his famous Gettysburg Address, and that, listen to his closing remark, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. I don't know about that. He couldn't make that promise. That was a hope. That was a hope and a prayer, I suspect. And that's one thing, but the Word of God is quite another. Quite another. The words from none other than Jesus Himself says that you will not be destroyed. You will not come to total ruin and destruction. Not one hair of your head will perish. We will not be destroyed. We will what? Live forever. The words of Jesus. I hope that you have laid claim to God's Word today. If you have not, today would be the day to get that done. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, and it warns us about putting things off, that we need to submit to the righteousness of God. We need to come to the Savior today, for it is expedient. It's a matter of eternity which demands action. It's too important to ponder and to think about it. It's too important to say, well, I'll think about it one of these days, maybe one of these days. You know, they say the road to someday leads to a city called nowhere. God's people shall not perish. Can you claim that promise today? If you cannot, I would plead with you to make your calling and election sure today. And the way to do that would be, first of all, to repent. It says repent or perish. And then by faith, accept the work that Jesus has already done for you. Claim Him as your Savior. Believe that when He died on the cross, the work was completed. That makes you not only just not guilty, but just. Justified. Justified through the blood of Jesus. I'm going to ask Brother Jack to come. We're going to stand. We're going to have an old-fashioned invitation. I'm going to ask you, if you're watching at home or listening, that you do at home. As we stand together today, do you claim and lay hold of this promise today that Jesus said, God's people shall not perish, won't be destroyed, everlasting life, every hair in your head, that's how much everlasting life is. Shall we sing?